In for Tommy Tucker on this Monday morning. Glad we can help you get through a Monday here on WWL First News. The nation's fertility rate has dropped to a record low. The Centers for Disease Control says fewer than 1.6 children were born per woman last year. That rate needs to be about 2.1 for a generation just to replace itself. So our population will be shrinking because women are having fewer and fewer children. What's going on? Why are we seeing families have fewer children? More and more families having no children at all, and fewer families having lots of children like we've seen in the past. Karen Benjamin-Guzzo is an expert on trends and differentials in U.S. fertility preferences and fertility behaviors at Carolina Population Center at UNC. Dr. Guzzo, thanks for joining us here on WWL.
Yes, happy to be here.
What's going on? Why is the Centers for Disease Control telling us that women in the United States are having fewer children than ever before?
Well, we're really joining other high-income countries in this trend towards lower birth rates. So people are waiting longer and longer to have kids, and sometimes that means they aren't able to have as many kids as they would have had earlier, but also sometimes they are deciding not to have kids at all.
And that is a trend that I think we see playing out every day. If we just look at the families around us, the people we know, I was just thinking about the 10 people that I interact with the most, and a lot of them have no children or only one child. And that seems to be more and more common that families are deciding they either don't want kids or they want fewer children. Is there something going on that we were able to observe internationally that is replicating itself here in the United States, or is there some other explanation?
Yeah, what's happening here is happening in other places, and I think a lot of it has to do with how hard it is, I think, to kind of finish that transition to adulthood. So it takes longer to finish school. It takes longer to get a good job. It takes so much longer to be able to afford to buy a house or rent a decent apartment because everything is so expensive. And so people are spending all this time kind of building up their lives, their careers, getting themselves into, you know, a secure financial place, trying to find a partner who's also in a good financial place. And that just takes longer to do. And then parenthood is one of those things we think should come after that. So you shouldn't have kids before you're too early or when you don't have enough money. And money really is a big one here, that people are like, kids are expensive. How could I have kids if I can't even afford my own rent or I'm stuck paying my student loans off? How could I send kids to college? So people are really thinking about the expenses. And it is just really expensive to become a parent. And then once you have kids, if you put your kids in childcare, you know how expensive childcare is. It can eat up, you know, a big chunk of your monthly income. So people are really worried about whether or not they have kind of the resources to have kids.
And I've heard a lot of parents say that with the expense of good childcare, one of the parents is essentially working just to put the kids in care, and that it doesn't make sense then. Why would you work just to put a child in daycare? Why not either stay home with them, or many of them say, it's too expensive. Why even have that child at all?
Yeah, the childcare thing is a real issue in the United States. We are one of the very few sort of high-income countries that doesn't have a paid, widely accessible childcare program. So other countries in Europe have this, and we don't have that. And I think that would actually help boost our birth rates a little bit, because anybody who has kids, again, will probably say, well, I can't have a second kid for a couple of years because I got to wait till I get my baby out of the really expensive rooms at daycare, because childcare is just so expensive. But the problem sometimes is that, yeah, you're right. It makes sense to be like, well, maybe I shouldn't work because I'm just going to be paying for childcare. And then what tends to happen, it's women who end up not working. And then it's harder for them to get back into the labor force when their kids do get to school. So they're school age and they think, oh, I'll just go back and work there. And then it's hard to find a good job then at that point because you haven't been working for a while. And we don't look kindly on people who have big gaps in their, you know, their resumes. And so it's a real problem that, you know, we've not solved in this country.
We're talking with Dr. Karen Benjamin-Guzzo about the trend in the U.S. for people to have fewer and fewer children. And the CDC has just told us that birth rate is down now to 1.6 children per woman. And that's the lowest it's ever been, and not enough for one generation to even replace itself. When we come back, I'm going to ask our doctor about the long-term implications of this and what it can mean societally, and also get her to react to some texts we're getting. One person says, it's just because people are selfish now and they don't want to make sacrifices in their lifestyle to be able to bring a child into the world. And somebody else is saying that it's the responsible decision. Why have children if you really can't afford them? So we'll have that conversation after this check on WWL Traffic. On average, women are having less than two kids now in the United States. That's the lowest rate in our nation's history. Dr. Guzzo, should we be concerned for the future if we're seeing a shrinking population, or at least a shrinking number of births in the U.S. in terms of having enough people to fill jobs, pay taxes, and run our society?
Yes and no. So it does have implications when birth rates decline for the, you know, the future of the population. But the United States is not projected to really decline anytime in the next 50 years. So maybe about 2080 is when we're thinking we might start to plateau and maybe start to decline after that. But we do need to figure out how we're going to care for the elderly. I think that's one of our biggest issues, because we've got the baby boomers, which is this largest group of births that happened in the 1950s and 60s, and they're moving into their older ages here. And so how are we going to care for them? We got to figure out how to do that and what happens when they all leave the labor market and who's going to work. So one option we have, and has traditionally been in the United States for a long time, is immigration. So that's helped keep our economy and our labor market doing well. But we are going to need to figure out what to do if we are going to have fewer immigrants moving forward as well. So we do need to think about the implications of this. But it seems pretty unlikely that we're going to be able to massively increase births anytime soon if we're not going to build childcare, for instance, or have paid leave like other countries do.
Some people are suggesting, as they're texting us, that this is the result of a selfish generation, that today's young people of childbearing age are more concerned about living a wonderful lifestyle and not having to compromise that with the expense of children. Other people are texting in and saying it's a responsible decision to not have big families anymore, because if you can't afford it, it's irresponsible to bring children into the earth if you can't properly care for them. What do you think about both those viewpoints?
Yeah, I hear the selfish one often from other people, but not for young people when I talk to them. They actually are still interested in having kids. What they tend to say, though, is that they're worried about it, and they're really deliberate about having kids. They're like, well, I shouldn't have kids because I can't afford it. I can't even keep my dog or my houseplants alive, and I can barely handle a pet. So they're really deliberate about it, and they're thinking back to their own childhoods, and they're like, my mom worked all the time and my dad worked all the time and they were still struggling to make ends meet. So maybe I shouldn't. So one thing I think is that young adults today are really being quite deliberate about it. So I would probably tend to agree with that second message you were reading about people being really rational. They're really thinking long and hard. They're like, could I be a good parent given, you know, how hard I would have to work and how expensive it is? And so what my research shows is that people aren't saying, no, I don't want kids. What they're saying is, I kind of want kids, but not yet. And they keep making the decision, not yet, not yet, because they're just really worried about their relationship. Do I have a good partner? Do I have a good job? Do I have enough money? And so they keep putting it off because things just don't look good for them.
Do you see this trend continuing and maybe accelerating to a point where we should get worried about the sagging birth rates? We're seeing other countries that are already worried about it implementing policies to encourage people to have children. There was even some crazy campaign in China not long ago suggesting people should be getting it on at work because they want more promiscuous activity in society, or at least more sexual activity in society, so people will have more kids.
Yeah, we are not quite to the point where we need to panic yet. But, you know, the current administration is trying to raise birth rates, although I don't think they're doing it in the ways that's most likely to help real people. So we have something, the new budget bill has these $1,000 Trump accounts to invest in the stock market. But I hear that and I think, well, that's well and good. But, you know, every new family, every new parent is like, I could use $1,000 right now. they need money right now. And so I do think we have a gap between how many people say how many kids people want to have and what they're actually doing. So if we could figure out what it is people really need, and that tends to be they want paid leave and they want childcare and they want everything not to be so expensive. So if we could figure out how to really make life easier for people, and not investment accounts in the future, but really in a day-to-day basis, they want to be able to afford their worlds, that would really help, I think, birth rates.
Dr. Guzzo, thanks for joining us and sharing your perspective with us here on WWL. Have a great week.
Thanks. Bye.
I'm Dave Cohen. We're going to get another expert in next half hour to give us a different perspective on this, but I'm curious yours. 504-260-1870. Call us and text us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Why do you think... 846, thanks for joining us here on WWL. Trying to get a number of perspectives on this new report that U.S. families are having fewer children than ever before. On average, U.S. women now have less than two children, not nearly enough for the next generation to replace itself on this earth. Professor Christine Whelan, a consumer science expert at Emory University, joins us now. Hey, Dr. Whelan, how you doing?
Thanks so much for having me on.
What is your reaction to the CDC's report that we're continuing to see and now we have the lowest birth rates ever in the United States?
So this has been an ongoing trend over the last several years. And really, this 1.6 children per woman fertility rate, it's not just a number. It's a signal that we're kind of have been entering this new demographic era. And on the one hand, we can say, gosh, this is a serious problem because we are not replacing ourselves here in the United States. On the other hand, we could see it as kind of a wake-up call for a lot of the reasons why women and families in general are making these choices.
And why are women and families in general making these choices, as far as you can tell?
So there are a lot of economic and social factors that come into play here. My grandmother always used to say that every baby comes with its own loaf of bread. And it was a very sweet phrase, meaning that, you know, that the things will come with a baby and it'll all be okay financially and that the support will be there. But that's really just not true. So as we see prices rising, as we see really the economic costs of having a child increase because it requires time outside of the workforce, there's increased opportunity cost to having children. What we see is that many women are postponing motherhood until they feel more secure. And then when they do have children, they're realizing that it's just one or maybe sometimes two children, but those big families really are a thing of the past.
What has changed? I mean, it was always expensive to have children, right? And I know in pure dollars, what it costs now to raise a child clearly is more than it did 20, 40, 50, 60 years ago, but incomes have gone up as well. Has the actual cost compared to what people earn gone up of having a child?
Yes, if you think about the cost as an opportunity cost as well. So if we think about it, having kids used to really be a path to security. But now in rich and developing countries, it's the opposite, that parenting means a financial sacrifice. And that, of course, then turns those would-be parents into maybes or nos. I mean, if you go back through to a couple hundred years, having children was a practical economic decision because kids worked on the farm and ran the family store. But now we see kids as no longer a financial asset. Really, they're an emotional investment and an expensive one. And of course, when we are in prosperous nations like ours, then we have to think about the fact that time spent raising kids means time not spent on paid earned income. So then you add the price of education, healthcare, all those enrichment programs and after-school activities. All of those things mean as societies grow wealthier, the return on investment, so to speak, for parenting becomes less about financial gain and more about personal fulfillment. But if you can't pay the bills, then that personal fulfillment comes at a really steep price.
When we come back, I'll ask Professor Whelan what the future looks like and get her reaction to some texts that claim people are being selfish by not replacing themselves on this earth, and others saying it's the responsible thing to do. Somebody else texts in and says, we don't have the village to help parents raise kids anymore. Schools, neighbors, society in general aren't interested in helping parents. So we'll continue that conversation as well as we talk about why we are seeing the lowest birth rates ever in the United States and what it means. Right now, we're going to check on WWL traffic. The CDC says we've hit a record low for the number of children that are born in the United States per woman, less than two. It's 1.6 now. Why is that? And what does it mean for the future? Dr. Christine Whalen is with us. Doctor, some people are concerned that we're not going to have enough people to take care of the previous generations as they age. We're not going to have a large enough tax base if we don't have more people. We're not going to have enough people to fill jobs if this trend continues. What do you think the future looks like?
Well, there are many ways to get more people into a country, and fertility is certainly one of them, but immigration is another. And so what we actually see is that the actual raw number of births has not declined in the United States, and that's because of some immigration reasons as well. But the overall fertility rate, the number of children per American woman, has declined. You know, interestingly enough, when you ask women how many children they want, American women still say they want about 2.5 kids. So there's a real gap between, you can call it a gap between the dreams and the diapers, right? And it's filled with student loans, with child care costs, with burnout expectations of how much it's going to take from us emotionally and financially to raise these kids.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
They want between two and three,
but they're only having between one and two. And you said earlier, mm-hmm. largely that's because they're waiting longer and longer. I want to ask you this. Some of our listeners are saying that this is selfish on the part of families and women because they don't want to sacrifice their personal quality of life that they would have to, those sacrifices they would have to make to have children. And all parents know that it is somewhat of a sacrifice mm-hmm. to your time and to your money when you have kids. Others are saying, no, we're being more responsible as a young generation now because it's not fair to bring children into the world if you can't afford them. Your thoughts on those two perspectives?
Honestly, everybody has something correct in each of these perspectives. So on the one hand, you know, we actually see that women in their 40s are now the only group that are having more babies, right? So if we can think of it not maybe as a baby boom, but as a baby shift, people are shifting to have children later. And yet, of course, when you wait until your 40s to have children, it also may be more challenging to have children. And so that's why we see more and more people turning to in vitro fertilization and to other help having babies when they actually decide to have to start a family. But this idea of is not having children selfish? Well, this is really a long-standing discussion. My mother, actually, who was an epidemiologist, wrote a book in 1976 called A Baby Maybe, The Guide to Making the Most Fateful Decision of Your Life. And it was a choice about whether or not to have kids, especially as a woman who wanted to pursue a career. And the reason she wrote it was because she herself was one of the first female graduates from the Harvard School of Public Health and was trying to decide whether or not she was going to have a baby.
Well, for your sake, I'm glad she did.
Well, I was about to say the punchline of this story is, of course, I am the baby maybe. And while she was doing this research for the book, she decided to have me. But she only had one child. And now I am in a very different situation. So now I have five children, and I am on the other end of the spectrum, raising a very large family, which is sort of certainly kind of out of the cultural norm right now. And so I see both sides. So the idea of saying one is selfish and one is selfless, I don't know. There are pros and cons to both, but it most certainly is a personal and an economic decision.
Professor, thank you for joining us and enjoy those five babies and living outside of the social norm. Glad your mom had at least one. And we appreciate your sharing your perspective with us here on WWL.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. This does increase the importance of the conversation of responsible immigration. And I don't know where we're headed as a nation in general, but I do know right now, with the current leadership we have under President Donald Trump, the emphasis is on restricting immigration. So the conversation going forward is, how do we have responsible immigration where we're bringing enough people into the country to make sure that we don't have an issue in the future with not a large enough tax base or not enough people to get the job done that needs to get done in terms of being employees. One person texted and said, if you have fewer people, you don't need as many people working. Well, that may be true for the current generation, but the generations before still need that tax base for health care, Social Security, and other things. It's a lot.